On this episode of Pennies Going In Raw, we discuss this week in the market, how to make money when there's no identified sector, and bringing back some bio DD.
Hey, yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav in the building for the Atlas crew.
Atlas Trading, what the f*** is up?
They're traders, they're prodigies, and then there's legends.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
Buy the f***ing dip.
Hey, who told me about IDEX?
Like, dude, what the fuck? Like, someone just made, like, a lot more money than me on my trade.
You find out, life's this game of pennies.
Did you check the portfolio?
Pennies.
The margin for error is so small.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
And they out here making money right now off of penny stocks.
The two guys is putting in work to make y'all rich.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Time to think big.
Pennies. Going in Raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity It Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny Strokes, baby.
Today's episode of Pennies Going in Raw is brought to you by Benzinga. Benzinga is our absolute favorite resource to use to trade with. We use it for charts and news and scanners. Look, guys, we use it for everything except for buying and selling stocks. I mean, that's all there is to it. And if you're not using Benzinga Pro, which you can get for 2 weeks free at pro.benzinga.com, that's pro.benzinga.com, you should at least be checking out their YouTube channel every single day, youtube.com/Benzinga. They have hot stocks, Luke's, and a just plethora of fantastic guests, from me and Hugh to Mia Khalifa to Ripster to CEOs of companies to CEOs of Webull. They have it all, guys. Make sure you check it out. That's youtube.com/Benzinga. Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Sunday, May the 30th, and we're rocking a three-day weekend. So make sure to spend some time with the family, enjoy it all. But the past 5 days, as we get ready for the next 4 days, were quite good. It seems like we can finally say these small caps are hitting. They're finding bottoms. But not only that, you're seeing sympathies, and you got the meme stocks. I mean, it's good news for all of FinTwit except for crypto FinTwit. But, I mean, this past week has definitely been an exciting change of pace for us retail traders.
Yeah, you could see the blatant inflow into small caps, or really into growth overall. Not just small caps, but just growth names overall. When we saw the outflow in late January, it was more of like a subtle, like kind of like sneaking out the back door. Of that, it was more of like a transitional phase, where this was just like everybody trying to get in the door at the same time. Like, growth was just up in it. Like, growth, everything was just up in growth. It didn't matter what SPY was doing. It just came down to simple supply and demand. This time you saw the sector rotation, or really the overall rotation of inflow, outflow. There was a huge inflow in it. They weren't even trying to hide it. So that's a really good thing. If you're a small cap trader or a growth trader, I have a great feeling about this summer. I think that whole like may go away. Usually that would be like the big funds and stuff. I think that in this case, that's going to be those automatic algos that just trigger and fade anything that pops. I think that there are some great deals in the market. I think that those algos are going to turn off. And when those algos turn off, and we don't even honestly need the other algos to turn on, but when those algos turn off, that's when you can see those huge rippers. And as you said, sympathies. When sympathies are back and you have something up over 100%, that's like, to me, that's, there's no beautiful of a market. There's no more beautiful than a market than that.
Yeah, dude, the sympathies, I feel like were so good to finally have back, because, you know, obviously, when sympathies are running, you can be a sympathy trader and you may miss the first one. The news came, you see it run. But, you know, being able to catch that bigger move, even the smaller move, just, but you know it's going to happen back when UAVS and Vissel, like we always talk about. And having those lists of sympathies is always, you know, like we say, it's so important. But going back to just kind of the market in general, I guess talking about the meme stocks. I mean, AMC is all-time high. You know, we saw it before Robinhood played its games. It stopped it at 25, remember?
Yeah.
In that pre-market. GME seems to be the one that's lagging behind this time. It's around, what, 250 or 200 area. But AMC is now leading the way for the meme stocks. Is it a passing of the torch, or is GME, the market cap's just like so high?
Yeah, I think GME was like your first girlfriend, and it's like, all right, now you're still
going back to see her, you know, even though you're at the movies with the new girl, no pun intended.
Yeah, you know, it's like high school, you know, you're growing up in like a small town, you know, like what's that song? Like, you still see her at the red light, but you know,
you're going home, you're going home from college for the winter, and you know, your current college girlfriend, she lives in Maine, you know, she won't know.
You see her at the grocery store, you know, and I think that's how GME is, but I think that AMC is a household name. It makes sense to people. GME, everybody was just like, man, screw it, like let's see if we can moon this bitch, you know. And
yeah, AMC, it's like people, I mean, it makes like, things are opening up.
Yeah.
People are going back to the movies.
So, like, my mom's stalking me in the airport, and she's like, well, AMC. Like, it seems like a no-brainer from here. Like, it's going to go up once everything's back to capacity. So, I think that everybody kind of has the same idea, which is great and scary, because there could be tons of liquidity in this thing, which means that if you trade it the wrong way, you could buy at bottom. I mean, you could buy at top, sell at bottom, you know, and it could just be inside like a $10 range. With the amount of volume that we've seen, it could be inside a $10 range for months, and you could get awesome. Chopped up. I mean, it'd be awesome for traders, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like new traders come into the market, they buy at 30, yeah, it gets to 28.5, they sell. It bounces off 26. Now it's back over 30. They rebuy. You know, it hits 35. They don't sell. Then it hits 30 again. They sell for break even. You know, so it's like that real mental game. When you first get into trading, you know, you don't understand that you actually enjoy dips. So I think that's one of the things, is that, you know, GME, everybody was just kind of like, yeah, screw it. Like GME is for my pastime. You know, let's go get Modern Warfare and stand in line. You know, let's lie to the cashier about our age. Yeah, exactly. You know, let's go a $60 game for $5 trade-in. Where AMC, I think everyone can see the thesis and everyone can see the catalyst, and they also see what AMC has done before and what GME has done before, and everyone's like, yeah, like done, like let's do it. But that being said, I think there's two ways to play this. If you were moon, hold from $3, $5, $7, you've more than quadrupled your investment. Take the money, or at least take out 2/3 of the position. If you still are inside like this cult of like, it's going to go to 1,000, that's fine, but take out 2/3 of the position.
Oh, dude, AMC, I think they want it going to 500,000 now, or like five. They wanted something ridiculous.
Oh, so it'd be like a $2 trillion company, but it'll be Apple. It'll be Apple to 2 trillion. Nice.
It's crazy. But I mean, like, if you think about it, like when I think about movies and then GameStop, I do frequent GameStop only because it is right beside where I get my haircut, which I no longer go because that Supercuts fucked me. But yeah, whenever I was waiting for my haircut, I would go into GameStop and just browse, never spend any money. But with movies, although I haven't been to a movie theater in forever, I could, you know, it's still one of those, like, with games, they come out digitally now. I download them there. But with movies, even if they came directly to Netflix or whatever, I mean, there's still the allure of going to the movie theater, paying $8 for their really salty, buttery, delicious popcorn. And, you know.
Yes, exactly. I was talking about going to a Gorilla, something like that. And that's what we were talking about, was that even though it's on Disney Plus, yeah, there's like a different thing about going to the actual movies. And also, it's like,
yeah, and it's an easy date idea. Come on, like, if the easiest
at 15, your mom's gonna let you go. You know,
you
might not
have
a girl to go, you know, because she might break your heart. But
and it's something that you can lie to your mom about at 15. Hey, I'm going to the movies. There's 3 hours. She can't call you. You know, you're busy. Your phone's off. You know, so it's big. Oh, and just a little first advice: first dates to the movies. Eat first, then go, because it's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're just in there sitting beside someone you don't really know.
Also, from like a perspective, like at 15, like I didn't have popcorn and hot dog movie. No. I mean, listen, That's just expensive.
Oh, mom was always, she let me use the credit card. She wanted grandkids at an early age.
so you were the baller at the movies when like a group of you would go. You were the,
well, I didn't have friends, but like if I were to go, like yeah, I would have been baller.
Yeah. So I think AMC, like I said, I think there's just two ways to play this. Either if you were holding from 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or even 10, take 2/3 off the table, let the rest ride. Fine. You know, maybe there's a chance that this thing goes to 5,000 and you know, you become like a billionaire. Great. But in the case that everybody's on the same side and this thing goes back to $10, at least you lock some incredible profit. And that's what I think is going to be the most important, is that you locked some profit, but yet you're still in it for the game. I still have some stocks like UAVS inside my Roth. I still have some of them from 65 cents, but am I holding full? Hell no. It's up like 1,000% since then. But will I hold some forever? Yes. And then I think there's the other way to play it. And I think that this is going to give kind of like Piton about a month ago when Piton was doing earnings and everything. There's so much volume and there's so much liquidity inside the stock that this gives great opportunities to trade it. Okay. Not invest it, not hold it, to trade it. Okay. If it starts to really create a really defined, you know, support and resistance, that gives you great risk reward from a trading perspective. I'm not talking like, hey, you buy it and hold it overnight. Maybe you hold it one night, but I'm talking it's hitting support, it's failing, it's breaking down, so you hammer the short side. Or it's find support, double taps, starts to curl back up, and you take it for a 2%, 5% trade. That's what I'm talking about. You know, a really nice high risk reward trade.
Do you think there are any chances there's any of the funny business go on with Robinhood and like all the brokers again with these going up? Obviously, they're more of a steady rise. But again, the other two, AMC and GME, last time, they were kind of steady rises until the day they were like, you know what, moon time.
I think Buy Sell Short said it best on Twitter. He said, if you think that AMC with a market cap of $11 billion is getting completely controlled by retail, you're out of your mind. And I think it was something along the lines of that. And I think that's so right. Listen, as much as we love retail, again, 70 to 80% of the market is controlled by algorithms, which are controlled by big banks. So if you think that $11 billion company is being affected a lot by, you know, Reddit with like someone with like $1,000, listen, yes, retail is definitely affecting it. But this is one of those scenarios where I kind of go back to the market makers using headlines to bring SPY down. Like for instance, like SPY sometimes will be down like 3% on a headline that most times won't even move SPY. And that's because the market makers are shielding the moves behind the headlines. And I think this is the same way that market makers are saying, like, you know, Reddit saying, you know, moon AMC. And these market makers are sitting there like, yeah, let's moon AMC. You know, they've just been accumulating this. If you look at the chart, they've just been accumulating this for like, what, a month and a half now? So everyone thought that it was over. They're sitting there just accumulating this, you know, billion-dollar company. And then all of a sudden, you know, one Reddit post gets AMC going again. And these guys are like, hell yeah, let's triple our money. You know, so I think this is like one of those like behind the scenes where there's always like that invisible hand behind the scenes. And I think that this is one of those cases.
That was one thing that was kind of nice about Trump, is because he could just say, you know, he knew what he was doing with the market, but at the same time, it wasn't like sugarcoating it on Twitter whenever he's like, yeah, I've got COVID. Yup. Boom. Market tank, you know, shit like that. But you know, thinking of that makes
it gave
me feel
great opportunities both yeah. ways. Like you could, like when he got COVID, you had like a minute to short. Yeah.
Because he, you know, they probably found out within literally an hour of him catching it. He was probably getting tested all the time. And
exactly.
He recovered in what, like 4 days?
Well, that was the thing, was that you could have shorted it down 4%. And then what is it, like a day and a half later, there was a report that he's trying to leave the hospital or something.
Yeah.
And he's like tweeting out like, I'm fine. Like COVID's fake. It's like, so then boom, I think the market ripped like 4.5% overnight. And then all of a sudden it went on like this parabolic move.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I thought whenever I was thinking of that was, I wonder if Trump's Twitter was active during the AMC GME first round, I would have just loved to see his tweets. I'm sure he would have, Imagine if he was bullish on it. Oh my god. Like, I love what retail traders are doing. GME to the moon.
You know he would have tweeted something like I love popcorn, or like Mrs. Trump loves going to the movies. You know, like something like that. Like, I could totally, you know, that he would get in the mix somehow, or he'd probably take a stance on it, saying that that he loves a free market, that this is, yeah, you know.
But I mean, like that, you know, maybe, that'd be perfect. If he just said, I love, yeah, a free market, oh my God.
Yeah, shorts would have, that's probably come, what I think.
Yeah, that would have been,
yeah, exactly. That's really what I think would probably happen. He probably wouldn't say like, oh, long AMC, but I think that he would probably make a stance that he loves a free market, that he's always been for the little guy, you know, like things like, he would have just, I mean, he would have just gaslighted the entire situation, but you know.
Yeah. Oh my, or he retweets Zach Morris.
I mean, at this point, we wouldn't even be shocked.
Nah, it'd just be like par for the course. But so aside from meme stocks and everything, you know, like another thing with those is how we were talking about the sympathies off of just those. You saw, I think it's EXPR, Naked.
Yeah,
you know, Naked, yep, was Naked, like a Blackbird swing from last week, and it went up a good bit, but dropped all the way back down to 50 cents. Looking at it again, it hit 69 cents or 70 cents. They've been rocking. The sympathy's been heating up. And Naked was actually the meme stock sympathy that I played. I missed the GME AMC this time. So I was like, you know what? Naked seems to run with them. And that's the one I happened to catch. So it's nice to see that. And because a lot of these have so much room now, after 2 months of just being beaten down daily. I mean, now it's, you know, they're cheap, and no, people know they're cheap, and it's reversal time.
No, exactly. I totally agree with you. And I think the other one is BlackBerry, is BB. I mean, this thing, although it hit 12 recently, when it was trading at 28. So, I mean, 12 really still isn't like a crazy move. I mean, it went from 4 to 28, and it hit like 7 again. In hindsight, I was talking about this with someone, in hindsight, like this, some of these were no-brainers. Like Ford under 5, no-brainer. You know, like Naked under 50, no-brainer. ITRM under $1, no-brainer. You know, some of these were such easy because growth had taken such a big hit because it was like someone had just pulled the air out of the small cap or growth market. And all these just deflated because there was an algo, you know, shorting them down, and there was no bid to support them. So if you look at the chart, they're all the same. They all have this massive downtrend on the 180-day chart. And what that does is that when you, like I said, is that I think that when these algorithms are shorting them down, when they go away, which I think is soon, I think they're slowly, what you kind of see is like a gradual move. I think that when they're done, I mean, all these have a beautiful chart, you know, bottomed out, huge downtrend. If they break, when they break those downtrends, all they're going to do is set off another scanner and another algorithm for a massive downtrend, you know, for a pop. And it doesn't, you know, we don't need these things to double, but you know, to see like BB go from 7 to 12, that's a great sign. You know, now if it back tests that prior resistance, now support on the big downtrend, yeah, then it's like, where could this thing go? Because the next real resistance is like 18. You know, so I think it's like going to be really exciting because there's so many different avenues that this could go. And I just think that we've seen max pain. And when I started looking on like sentiments of Twitter and stuff, you saw people that genuinely made tons of money. Let's call it like 80 grand. Okay. With the first round of meme stocks. And then they lost it all, if not like an extra 10 grand. You know, like that was a conversation I was having with someone, was that he had made 80,000 and he had lost it all and actually ended up losing 10,000. He was like, I'm done. So I think that we've seen max pain. I think that everybody that made money, if they continued to try and trade and they were new to the market, then they probably lost some money. And I think that now, like I said, is that I think that we're getting close. I think this is going to be a really good summer. And I think that there's not going to be many beach times in Alabama for you, Dano.
Damn. Well, one more thing before we go on to is what we used to call the meat and potatoes of the episode. Cryptocurrency. You want to put your money where your mouth is? I think you said if it was under 35,000, you would dabble and buy your first coin. If you want to refute that statement, I'm sure there is some nerd out there that listens that would be more than happy to find us that recording of you saying it on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I did say that. Okay, so this is how I, okay. How we talked about growth after the meme stocks is how I see crypto right now. I think crypto is going to be...
Do we hate China? Aren't they? China's like one of the reasons it's dying right now. I'm pretty sure.
See, that's the thing. We knew regulation was going to come. Okay. They can't just, that like what happened with the pipeline with these guys that just took over the pipeline, requested like, what is it, 90 million in Bitcoin, and then just, you know, were paid and nobody will ever know them? Or what was, you know, or some of these altcoins where the guys stole like 32 million?
KoFi 100.
Yeah,
I think,
like 32 million.
Yeah, 32 million.
Yeah, 32 million is not like $1,000 to where like the government's like, like you shouldn't have been stupid. 32 million is a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, dude, and we're sitting here making this stupid podcast and trading, and we could have just pump and dumped our own cryptocurrency and
left. So I think it's like one of those things where I think that regulation is going to come. And now it'll be interesting to see because the Fed really hasn't taken a position. I'll be interested to see because they will have to take a position. Everything in government takes a long time, but it's going to get to a point to where it's, you know, they don't have a choice, but they have to take a position. And based on that position, it's going to be really, really interesting because I think there's three different avenues that we can go. Either, this one sounds the weirdest, but or the craziest, but either we create our own cryptocurrency like the government does, you know, where they can regulate it. Everything's neatly filed, things like that. It's neatly filed, you know, it's documented, you have to pay taxes on it. I think that that's one avenue that I would not be shocked, you know. I know that like a lot of people would be against that because then it's like, okay, big brother, but I think that that's one way that they could do it. The other way,
they just make fucking spy. You know, you just buy and sell shit with spy, like if they're going to make their own shit.
But, like, you can't have these. Like, there's so many stories of, like, drug... Even, like, I know a guy who, you know, he was a drug dealer for 15 years, and he would just buy crypto because he was, like, he didn't know what to do with the cash, so he bought crypto. And now he's worth, like, $15 million. Like, from selling, like, weed on the weekends. Like, it was just...
Dude, there's people, yeah, that sell... I mean, there are stories of people... going through like landfills because they have hundreds of millions of dollars in Bitcoin from just long time ago. And they're like, I threw that computer out years ago. And they're like, I mean, you can try, but there's 0.00% chance you'll find it.
Yeah. So you can't just have, I think at some point regulation has to come. And I don't think, like I said, I think it's either we create our own coin or two, regulation cracks down on right now on Bitcoin right now, and kind of everyone's grandfathered in. Like, hey, if you're a drug dealer, you're worth $20 million now. Great, you know, like you got us. You know, I think that's kind of one of the ways that the government plays it. Like, hey, you got us, but now we got your ass. You know, now then the drug dealers gonna be like, all right, like sick, like great, I'll live on my $15 million. Oh no, you know, and I think that's. The other way that goes, that regulation just becomes so stiff that if you were to cash out your Bitcoin and bring the cash over to your bank account or whatever, you know, let's say you buy a house with it, that, you know, the IRS is just sitting there waiting for you. And if they can't, and if you get audited and you can't prove where that income comes from and they don't count cryptocurrency as like an income, let's call it, then, you know, you're on the line for like 50% of that. You know, if they consider it like a lottery win, then you're on the line for a hefty tax. And so that's one way that they could do it. And I think the third way is that I don't think they could take this approach, but they could just ban it. I don't think they take that approach. I don't think they can take that approach.
I don't think so. No.
But I'm saying that it is a viable option. You know, like there still is like a small chance. So I think that those are the three. I think,
but then it's like, what happens to all the money in there? Like, that makes sense.
Exactly.
Sense, I don't think that'll happen.
But I mean, hey, at one time they, you know, prohibition.
Yeah. Oh God, I'd hate that. so, all right. Well,
that's for crypto.
There hasn't really been a defined sector recently. And one thing we want to talk about is how to make money when there's not a defined sector. Obviously, you can play them as they come. You know, sometimes there'll be semiconductors running. Sometimes it'll be, well, it's never Bitcoin miners anymore. Sometimes it'll be the meme stocks or bios or just last week, all the Alzheimer's plays are running off of just one PR. So are you just playing them as they come, or are you trying to predict them? How can you make money when you just have no idea what tomorrow's sector is going to bring?
Yeah, so I have been accumulating a lot of bios because of this ASCO. And Alzheimer's just kind of added to my theory that I think that bios are going to be the sector that really goes next. When I look at future catalysts and catalysts upcoming, ASCO, I sound like a broken record, but that's the one that I've been waiting for. That's the one that I think that, hey, like, yeah, like some bios won't do well, but I think that I've done enough DD on a few that I have that they give me really good risk reward. And so that's why I've been accumulating bios, because again, growth, when growth gets hit, bios are the first thing to get hit. Like, but like, it's not even, they'll be down 50% while the rest of growth is down like 10%. And that sucks if you're holding bios, but it gives a really good opportunity. From what I've noticed over my career is that it gives a really good opportunity to curl back and to, you know, I mean, when things are, I mean, we saw ONTX almost doubled. You know, and that's because it bottomed out, it flew down, gave really great opportunity, and it came out with a little bit of good news, and there were shorts packed in, it was bottomed out, it was super cheap, and that thing almost doubled. So that's why I tend to go towards bios anyway, but then on top of it, the catalyst that I see right now, inside the near term, is the ASCO conference, which is bio. And it's not like, if there was like an EV conference that all the small caps we're talking at or something like that, then maybe I would go that route. But right now, based on growth being, when growth gets hit, bio is the first thing to get hit. And two, ASCO is coming up. And that's where I think that we could see, you know, like a Sava type move. And if we get like a Sava type move, then, you know, that's when the low float bios and all the other bios go. And we just see, I think we see like one of those days again where everything in small or cap or growth is just up 20%. And that'll be a really nice day to see.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned about it not being EV, because I saw some chatter of maybe EVs kind of being one of the next things, with some call sweeps on like CCIV and what's the other one, like REO or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because like KNDI, although I hate KNDI as a company, you know, I mean, it moves really well with bios. And interestingly enough, last year it hit 3 and then went all the way to 17. Came back down to 5, went all the way back to 1750. Now it's at 540 again. And so it's like, huh, you know, this is an interesting spot, because it could either continue to grind down, or maybe this is like where we take a little nibble, you know, and we kind of just wait. Because again, like it last time they hit 5, or it was even like a little bit higher than this, it was like 6, it went all the way to 17, you know? And so I think that EVs are definitely, I would love bios to set off and then I just roll the money into EVs. I mean, that would be perfect, you know? Like Biden starts talking about EVs and he wants to have like a summit towards the end of the summer. That would be my ideal situation, because like KNDI is bottomed out or starting to bottom out. You know, you have some of those other ones. What is it, like Solo?
I know this is off topic for EVs, but still cars and bottomed out. I mean, this is fucking crazy. Lots was at $4.
Yeah.
$4. I was thinking about calls, but then I was like, you know what? This place hasn't done any good. You know, I thought calls at 7 probably would have been a good idea. So I don't know if calls at 5 are a good idea. So I sticking out of that race, but man, that one is down there. I saw someone DM me and said, hey, have you cut your losses on lots? I was like, my stop loss was at $10.
Yeah, so every single time that it came near the 50 SMA, it rejected it hard. So now the 50 SMA is sitting at almost $7 and the stock closed at $4.30. So now you know, if it can start to create support at that $4, one, that valuation makes more sense than at 12. At 12, it was worth like a stupid amount. At 12, the lot's market cap was stupid because the market cap right now is 500 million. So with that, it was like 1.5 billion. And that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
And there's only like seven, there's like eight
car
lots.
Exactly.
And when I say car lot, I literally mean car space lot. Like there's a few cars.
Exactly. And so I think that even though although we get a dividend, I don't think that the valuation at that number said it. One of the things that was kind of made me mad was and this happens a lot, is that the management overpromised. And they said that they were going to quadruple their sales, that revenue was going to go through the roof, that they were going to open up like, I think it was 10 locations within the next 8 to 12 months. And when you overpromise, you get a lot of hype. And then the first bad sign, because again, it's the move is priced in for all of these things to happen. So then when you get a bad sign, that's when the ugliness starts. And then like you break like the $10 mark. And I mean, you retest it one or two times and then it's just straight down. So one of the things is that management overpromised, you know, it was all during the SPAC hype. So this was a really, in hindsight, whoa, could you imagine if you shorted at 12? In hindsight, this should be a learning experience for a lot of people as, hey, these things can go a lot lower. And also to take a look and say, hey, you know, this could be a really big company. Personally, my favorite SPAC is UWMC because I think they have the most upside and I think their valuation makes sense. And their profitability.
And dividends.
And dividends. And their profitability is through the roof. I think that they used SPAC the right way. Lots. Management overpromised. It was inside the hype. Now it's getting close to where I could be like, okay, you know what? This is now this is getting ridiculous because now the valuation is going to be undervalued. You know,
Speaking of UWMC, got a little 100% option on that whenever I saw the Wall Street bets heating up on, I think, Wednesday. Thought I was like, you know, whenever those heat up, they usually hit Rocket. And you know what happens when Rocket gets hit? UWMC gets hit. Sometimes finding that long chain of sympathies, even though it may be a long shot, you know, UWMC, it was already cheap for it was like 860 or 850 whenever I first got it. And then, you know, I noticed GameStop, AMC, they're all up 20%. And the next thing they usually go for is like a little bit bigger meme stops like Rocket, their first sympathies. But Rocket has its own sympathy that has nothing to do with meme stocks. And it, you know, so being able to
play that one really well.
Correlate those. Yeah, when you can like find your spider web and interconnect what goes where, yeah, man, you can. And knowing the original sympathies off of these meme stocks, because the meme stocks aren't crazy. Wall Street Bets, they're insane. They're Rambo, you know? You never know what they're going to do. So be ready to get the ones like that whenever the opportunity arises. But going back to sector identification, or if there is none, like let's say there's just none this next week. I mean, there's a day there may be cancer news. One day may be saying masks are still good, mask news. How are we playing?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is going to be, we can't assume that sympathies are back completely, but also we don't want to miss the bus. So let's just say that something, for instance, like Rocket is starting to run, or even let's use like AMC, okay? I think that how I'm going to play it is that if we wake up and we see things, you know, up 10%, what I want to do is that when I wait the first 15 minutes to open, see what they do. Okay. Because chances are that, you know, it's Memorial Day, 3-day weekend, people start bidding something up Tuesday pre-market. And then all of a sudden, like 9:45, it just fades, you know, it just like fades really hard. You know, all we need is one seller in there. And all of a sudden now it goes from up 10% to back to even. So I think that it's going to be really important, especially towards the beginning of this week, to take it slow. You know, FOMO is really high right now because, you know, everybody sees the inflow back into growth. Everyone sees the movement. Everybody's excited. It's a 3-day weekend. Kids are home from college. High schools are starting to graduate. There's tons of inexperienced traders now coming back into the market. So what I want to see, you know, it's kind of like the beach. You know, everyone's so excited for Memorial Day to get to the beach, you know, and then all of a sudden
traffic's backed up. Oh,
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, that's a perfect example that there's many things that can stop this parade. You know, there's many things that can stop this weekend. So I would, first 15, 20 minutes, I would take a deep breath, not trade anything for the first 15, 20 minutes. Because again, if people start bidding AMC up and it's up 10% pre-market, and all of a sudden 9:45, you know, one big seller comes in and now we're back to even on light volume, you know, that's going to scare people. And then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, shoot, like, let me sell. I'm down 5%. And then all of a sudden now it's just, you know, you get one of those like cliff days where it's just like so much selling pressure, you know, it's so much selling pressure. And that's why I think that it's really important to, especially this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, wait out the first 15 minutes and see what's happening. Okay. And then if a sector or a stock is identified as a runner, pick up the sympathies, but go small. Okay. If your regular starter on the stock is $5,000, on the sympathy, make it $1,000. Okay. Because if the stock dies, obviously the sympathy is going to die with it. So you can get out with a small, you know, scrape, let's call it. Where if you go in at 5,000 and then you add one more time, now you're in at 10,000. Now it's like, okay, if this sympathy dies, now you're down a good buck. So wait the first 15 minutes. If a sector or a stock is identified, have your watch list up, hit the sympathies, okay? And then once you hit the sympathy, hit the sympathy small, okay? Get a feel for it again. And then take, you know, if watch the lead horse starts to die, boom, cut the sympathy. Take your profit, whatever it is, and then call it a day. Because one of the things that I'm trying to preach here is that, listen, small caps will come back. Sympathies will come back. But playing a sympathy is not like playing the main runner because there's not as much volume. Okay. Although it's running with the main stock, it's a completely different ball game, you know? So
you got to watch them both too.
You got to watch them both.
You're in a sympathy, you got to have your eyes on both things, because if you're like, why is this dropping? Well, you probably because the other one.
Exactly. And so it's been a few months since sympathies have run. Okay. And it can be really easy to get out of that like muscle memory of, hey, the, you know, big knife candle on the main stock cut my loss, or, you know, cut for 10% gain, something like that, you know, or, hey, this is a pullback, add, sell, you know, things like that. So what I really want to see is that I want to see everybody have really good risk management, have a defined plan. Okay, boom. I wait the first 15 minutes. A stock is identified, breaking through resistance. I grab the sympathy on support. Okay, I grab it small so that no matter what, it's not a big win or a big loss. You know, it's lunch money or lunch money. You know, one way it's a win lunch money, or I'm eating ramen today. Okay, because when small caps do come back really well, what I don't want to see is I don't want to see the 1,000 paper cuts right now, so that now your account's down 10, 15% and then small caps come back and you're like, damn, I wish I had that 10%. You know, like now this is like, now it's like, boom, you grab a sympathy, it moons, you know? So I really want to see defined plans this week. Wait 15 minutes, okay? Wait 15 minutes, identify the runner, pick up a sympathy, a small beer size, and then, you know, really good muscle memory. Boom. You know, no hesitation. First thought, the runner starts to die a little bit. Boom, sell half. You know, the runner starts to get kill candle, sell half. Support, I buy. Comes up to resistance, I sell half. You know, like I really want to see that defined plan, because that's what a trader is. And that's where, you know, if you want to be inside this game for longevity, the last few months have been tough. Okay, if your account's down, you can't take another 10, 15% haircut.
Yeah, one thing you mentioned that I feel like I really learned and got better at during these past few months is lunch money or lunch money. There were so many times I had to be okay. This is a $50 gain. This is a $100 gain, and just take it. You know, those weren't, you know, not everything was working. I'm playing a lot smaller size, and I can't look back at those trades and be like, damn, you know, I definitely should have held longer, because 2020 hindsight every time, you know, no one's got it. But I still haven't even started buying things in the morning, only selling. I haven't even been doing much pre-market trades at all, aside from sells if I see a pop. But yeah, I'm still just waiting to get back into it. I'm still waking up like 2.5 hours before market opens, checking it, watching it. But, you know, like we always say, there's nothing to wake up for these days. But no, I mean, pre-market has been boring, but hopefully it starts heating up. But moving on, you got some DD. We haven't done DD in a while. We were just talking about bios. You got some. I know. You want to do ITRM?
Yeah, we'll do ITRM.
Okay, so ITRM is... I'm too ridiculously mad. ITRM.
Ooh, okay.
I'm too ridiculously mad. Okay, so obviously it was a swing from a couple months ago. It had a delay in data, causing it to drop to under a dollar from like 120, 140 range. And we got some news again this week. It's back in business. What do we need to know about ITRM?
Yeah, so first off, this is going to be the good, the bad, the ugly, the three scenarios I see, and everything that I was able to find on the company. I know that there's a lot of ITRM, I don't even know, groupies? Can I call them groupies? Listen, this upcoming trial is ITRM's make it or break it. Okay? I want to say that right now again. This is ITRM's make it or break it. Okay? They have come close to approval twice. This is number three. They are also, this, you know, the one that they're testing right now is also their only candidate, okay? It's a sole candidacy, late stage clinical biotech, all right? When you break that down, what that means is that they're late stage and they only got one batter on the team, okay? He strikes out and it's gone. He hits a home run, he gets $300 million, okay? That's how we have to look at ITRM. So the good news, okay, I like the science behind it. I'm leaning towards approval, okay? 65-35 approval in my opinion, okay? But that doesn't mean that I would hold it all through. So there's three different scenarios I could see, okay? First, if you're like ITRM to 15, sell half or sell two-thirds before approval, okay? Because if this thing does not get approved, it'll be ugly, all right? Now, the good news, one, their finances are solid. They have tons of cash. They have cash through 2022, probably even part of 2023. Based on this current burn rate, they have more than enough cash for at least a year and a half. Honestly, maybe closer to 2 years. Their finances are solid. I know that a lot of people got pissed when they did that massive offering. That massive offering was good because now you really don't have to worry anything. And if this drug is approved, commercializing is expensive. Okay, everything gets really expensive. What people don't understand is that listen, the hard part is getting approval. Then the harder part is financing everything that you have to do just to sell the drug. Bob talked about this, but most of these companies rack up tons of debt. Like I'm talking like hundreds and hundreds of million dollars. So nobody wants to touch them. Even if they could make them, you know, $400 million a year, nobody wants to touch a company with $500 million debt. You know, like nobody's touching that. You know, unless it's like cancer, Alzheimer's, you know, something like that. Nobody wants to touch that. Okay. So like I said, from a financial standpoint, they have more than enough cash, small debt. I think it's $40 million in debt. That's really good news. Okay. Now moving on to their management. Okay. Their current CEO, okay, actually sold. Okay. So Corey Fishman found the company in 2015. Before ITRM, he served 5 years as CFO and COO of DURATA Therapeutics. I don't know how to say it. Dorada. Dorada, is that it? Okay. They actually sold Dorada. Okay. They sold. So he for Dorada, he basically did the IPO. He got them enough cash. That's basically like a fancy word of saying they did an offering. Okay. And he also led the negotiations in their buyout. Okay. Now, what that tells me is that that's probably the end goal for our ITRM if this is approved. So, if I'm going to take it from 2015 on, he probably sold Dorada. He said, wow, you know, there's a lot of money in buyouts. Started the company and he wanted to do so. Most times it's not a good thing when it's just a sole, you know, like drug company, like one drug, you know, candidacy. I think I used like one hitter before. But for him, I think he looked at it as, hey, you know, let me focus on one area. Let me not rack up tons of debt because I've been through this and I understand that companies don't, buyouts don't happen if companies have huge debt. So let me put all my chips on the table. Let me put them all onto this one stock. I mean, this one, you know, candidacy, and let me go from there. Because if approved, then I can just sell the company for, you know, it's called like $400 million or something, or $500 million, and, you know, and that's it. Or if I don't, then, you know, then I can continue to work at it. You know, so the really good news is that he's done buyouts. He understands the game. And Bob talked about this. He understands what has to happen outside of the science. And that's one of the things that is really tough inside the small cap bio world, is that sometimes you don't get good COOs or you don't get good management teams. And what happens is that they have a really good science. They have really good science, but their finances are a fucking mess, or they can't commercialize and they end up dropping like $100 million offering just to commercialize the drug. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, nobody wants to buy a float of like $400 million. Okay. So he understands the science and he understands the outside of the science. That's the really good part of this. Okay. As I said, I like the science behind it. I do think that it's on its side to get approved, but I would, if you're a holder, you know, holder for 15, I would sell 2/3 at data. Me personally, I have some, but I'm going to buy some probably at the end of June. So probably like literally right before July, I'm probably going to buy some and let it run up, because I think it can see a nasty run up. But I'm not going to buy it until the end of June because I want to pull back a little bit. You know, I want people to be like, great, great news. You know, great, this is fantastic news. Now let's get, this is fantastic news. You know, take your profit and then let it pull back a little bit. And then I'll start building a position towards the end of June and give it a 4-week run up. I will not hold through data. I will not hold through data because, as I said, if this thing is not approved, I mean, my price target is, see, they have a lot of cash, but my price target's honestly probably a dollar, probably even like 75 cents. If unapproved. If approved, 450 to 5. If they really start to do well with the sales, so I'm talking like, okay, if on approval, 455, then within a year, they should start to commercialize, start to sell. You know, if sales start to go the way that I think they can go, which is like $400 million a year, let's call it, then my price target would be anywhere between 7 and 10, depending on how they do their financing. If rumors start to float around of a buyout option, because I think that that is the CEO's the name of the game. Like, I think that's his end goal. Okay. I think he's had that goal in mind since 2015 to get this thing approved, to get this thing commercialized and sell it. Okay. Everything, when I look back, everything that he's done has basically been kind of leading them up to a buyout, you know, to put themselves inside the best position for a buyout. So like, shit can really get crazy. If sales start to go and rumors start to do well and they start to create partnerships, you know, they have a partnership with Pfizer, or it's licensed out to Pfizer. If, you know, rumors start to fly of a buyout, because again, that's when I would be really interested. Okay. If approved and we're sitting back here in 8 months and they're starting to commercialize, they're starting to do sales and, you know, buyout options start to emerge. That's when I would be really interested, because this guy has really good history of buyouts. So like I said, price target 450 to 5 if approved. Okay. 7 on good sales. And who knows after that, you know, like then stuff can start getting crazy with buyout rumors. If it's unapproved, then it's basically just worth whatever cash it has. And that's probably sub a dollar, maybe 75 cents.
Yeah, that's a pretty clean play though, I'd say. But I mean, if it is approved, I'd say it's definitely clean. And one good way to always stay clean is with the Lawnmower 4.0. Brand new from manscaped.com, which you can get for 20% off and free shipping using code PGIR. That's PGIR. And let me tell you, this one is waterproof, wireless charging, travel lock. It has an LED spotlight on it. This is what you need to trim your jewels. That's all I'm going to say this time. Brand new, would be great for your dad for Father's Day. Make sure to get your dad clean. this Father's Day using code PGIR at manscaped.com. And there's one more segment I had. I'm recording this afterwards. But I did say I would do our best and worst trades of the week. Hugh didn't really trade this week because he was in Vegas. However, I did. My best trade was, I mentioned it earlier, was the UWMC 100% options after the Rocket Sympathy got picked up. And my worst trade, I bought Reed, R-E-E-D, on the Walmart news, and it went up to 117. I was up like $8,000 on it. I held it for far, far, far too long and ended up, I'm bagged. Your boy's bagged around a little under my average. So trying to get out, but you know, I'm hoping for a nice little pop or another PR, you know, Walmart, baby. But yeah. All right, guys. Well, we really appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully we've provided some knowledge that you guys can take with you to the market. And yeah, man, it seems like the market is definitely getting a little cutesy again. So hopefully we can all continue banking. Should we do a giveaway?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mouse or keyboard?
Both.
Okay. How about just a $100 Amazon gift card?
Yeah, I like that.
Something easy. Okay, $100 Amazon gift card. You got to retweet the podcast, and you got to just make sure you retweet, like the podcast, and follow us both. And we're gonna pick one person that retweets the PGIR podcast, and we'll announce the winner on Wednesday. $100 Amazon gift card to your crib, or probably just to your email. So please, guys, 5-star like, retweet, and peace loving podcast.